Right, good morning, Life Point Church. How's everybody doing today? Everybody good? Everybody avoided the first two rows like normal. Like to see that things are right where they are, right where they're supposed to be, right? Good. All right, well, welcome to Life Point Church. My name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here. I just want to say thank you so much for being here with us. You guys are awesome. I'm just thankful to have you guys here with us today. We're coming off a six-week series on the book of Ephesians, and if you missed that, I encourage you to go back and check it out on our podcast. It was just a great series. It's always good just to like kind of stop, take scripture, and break it down, right? Go through it chapter by chapter and really look and see what God is saying and how incredible the application is for us even in 2019. It's incredible to do that. So I hope you all received something from that. God spoke and worked in your life through that. And today, we're doing something that in my 4 years as lead pastor here, four and a half years, something like that. I don't know, time flies and I'm getting old. That I've never done. And we're going to do a quick two-week series on relationships, a relationship series. And I think as much as we like to put on a front and act like we all have it all together, none of us do. And it's funny because there's so many things in life where we think that we're the only ones, like internally. And so we put on that mask and act like everything's good, like, oh, our relationship's, you know, a mess behind the scenes, but maybe we're the only ones, especially in church, because everyone likes to hide in church. So we throw on a mask and we act like things are great. We're pros at that. But what the environment that we try to create here at Life Point Church is that of open and honest. Really to be honest with who you are, what you're going through, and where you're at. And to create that environment and that safe space. So that's really what we've tried and we strive to do here. And so with that, today we're going to kick off this two-week series, and it's called Thrive. And like I said, we're specifically going to zero in on relationships, what God's Word has to say to us about the importance of our relationships. You see, in my experience and in life, I think too many times, people take the mentality of just simply surviving, right? I just need to get through this day, or I need to get through this week, or I need to make it through this season, and it's just, I just need to survive. When in reality, what God has created us for and created us to do is to thrive, not just simply survive, but to thrive. But we take this survival mentality in a lot of areas in our lives, in our jobs. You know, many of us, we don't like, you may not like your job, or you might not be happy in your job, and you're just trying to survive and make it through without maybe getting in trouble or being noticed, just fly under the radar, do what you got to do, and then dip out and take your paycheck. Or in your finances, you know, you just need to get by. In your parenting, I just hope I don't screw them up too much, right? It's just this survival mentality. And it's so, so true of us as well when it comes to our relationships. I think we all want good and healthy relationships in our lives. But life is messy. People are messy. Therefore, relationships are messy. And so naturally, what we like to do is if we just say, let's just survive it. Let's just survive. But again, we really need to thrive. Survival in relationships is at its all-time high, in my opinion, and from my experience, right now, as we get ready to enter the holiday seasons, right? Everyone, I'm not going to out you and make you like raise your hand, but I'm sure there are people in here that take this mentality every year when the holiday season comes around. It's just like, I just want to survive it. Maybe you've already even taken that. Maybe you've already said that. Like as soon as Halloween was done, and then you know, every store already has Christmas stuff up, and some people like already have trees up, which I don't understand, but they do. And if you do, I'm sorry, I'm not throwing shade, but that's weird. Let us have Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, so but we get into this mentality, and you've probably already said that. I just want to survive. I just want to make it through, which translates to, I want to make it through the holidays without throat punching somebody. That's what that really means, right? Without going broke or throat punching somebody. It's really relationally. You just want to make it through. Peaceful, low drama. You don't ever say no drama, just low drama, because you know there's going to be drama. This is why me and my family go away on Thanksgiving. We get out of town. We're out. But it's because relationships are tough. And we've taken this survival mentality. That's not what God wants for us. That's not what he planned for us. We were created to thrive in all aspects of life, but specifically in our relationships. See, God created us as relational beings. I love Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. This is where we're going to kick off with from Scripture, and it says this. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. If someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people laying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? It's really this beautiful picture of how important relationships are in our lives. See, we weren't created to isolate. We weren't created to go through life alone. We were created to be in relationship. To be in relationship with each other, and most importantly, to be in relationship with God. And not to just be in relationships, not to just survive, but to actually thrive in them. You know, we see this all the way back into the beginning. When we go back to Genesis, when we see the creation of Adam and Eve, they were created as relational beings. They were created for each other. To help each other, to improve each other's lives, to have companionship, right? And also to be in relationship with God. And it was beautiful. It was perfect. It was pure. That is, until they went off on their own, did their own thing, ignored God's commands, said, we're just going to do what we do. And that's when sin entered the world, and everything changed. Everything was affected, including relationships. That's when we begin to see the divide, the toxicity that begins to come in relationships and pulling each other apart. We see that starting in Genesis chapter 3. And what we see immediately when sin entered the world, the first thing they do is they hide. They hide from God. The person that they're supposed to be the closest with, their creator, the one that they loved the most, that they were connected to. You see, fear or love casts out all fear, right? So there's no reason for them to be afraid. But they hid. Because sin created a wedge between them and God. And not only did they hide from God and it created that wedge between them and God, it created a wedge between each other. Because the first thing that happened when God said, why are you hiding? What's going on? Adam's first response was to throw Eve under the bus. Hey, whoo, it was her. She made me do it. And I've been married long enough to know I can't even imagine the look that Eve gave Adam when he said that. Like, are you for real? Definitely going to hear about this later. Right? Now, that's not scriptural. That's not in there. But I can only imagine, right? But he immediately throws his partner, right, under the bus. And then what does she do? Well, then she starts blaming the serpent. He tricked me. They're already casting blame. They're already just, there's all these seeds of destruction within relationships that are forming. It's not how God intended. It's not how we were created to be. We were created to thrive relationally, not just to survive. But see, the story doesn't end there, because then we have Jesus. Right? Jesus comes on the scene. God sends his son to step into the picture and bring restoration so that we can thrive once again in our relationships. Through him, he makes all things new. No longer survival mode, but we move to thriving. And if you have that relationship with Christ, if you've come into that connected relationship with Him, you have access and the ability, and you should thrive in your relationships. Yet we don't access it. Many times, even though we have Christ, even though we've been made new, even though there's grace and there's that opportunity to thrive relationally, we just simply say, I'm just going to survive. Why? Because typically it's easier. Because to thrive relationally takes work. And that's just not my assumption. When I look around today at relationships, and I'm not talking about people that don't know Christ, I'm talking about within the church, people who claim the name of Jesus, when I look at relationships, they're a mess. They're an absolute mess, whether it be a marriage or a dating relationship or friendships or family. There are so many relationships that are severed and destroyed, and we're just simply okay with it. We just say, I'm just going to survive. But that's not who we should be. That's not who God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be full of anger towards each other. He doesn't want us to gossip about each other or to throw someone else down to lift ourselves up, to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. He doesn't want us to sit there and stab someone in the back. He doesn't want us to use manipulation to get people to do what we want to do. That's not who He created us to be. And in Christ, as new creations, that's not who we are. Yet we settle. We settle for survival. When in reality, we need to thrive. So let me just ask you this question. And I am going to ask for participation here. And I think it'll be okay for you to raise your hand, because I don't think you're going to be alone. But how many of you would say that at this point in time, you have a relationship in your life that's either a mess, or that at least you can't really, you know, characterize as thriving? How many of you? Y'all are all like, all right, I'll put up two hands. There's plenty of relationships in my life that I cannot say are thriving. And I don't say that like to brag. I just say that I'm just a real person. I'm just like you. But I need to improve in that. I need to seek God in those areas, because I'm not supposed to just survive in my relationships. I'm supposed to thrive. And we have a part to play in that. We have to do better. We have to begin to thrive in our relationships as followers of Christ. Because when people who don't know Him look in at our lives and they see that we're no different than them, why would they care about what we have to say? Why would they want what we claim to have when it doesn't change us and it doesn't affect us? It doesn't lead to change. It doesn't lead to something different. But if they could look in and see that change, and they could see Jesus in us, and they could see the fact that, may our relationships may not be perfect, but we're striving to thrive in all those areas. Man, it would be a game changer. And I wish I could sit up here and say, okay, here it is. If you do X, Y, and Z, all your relationships are going to be perfect. It's going to be beautiful. Unfortunately, that's not the case. I don't have that for you. But what I do have are some steps, some things that we can do that will help to move us forward closer to thriving in our relationships. And I think that if you can apply these things, they will make a huge, huge difference in your life. So again, this series is going to be this week and then next week. So today, what we're going to focus on for the rest of our time is how do we have relationships that are thriving? Like, what does that look like? What is required to have a relationship that's actually thriving and not just surviving? And then next week, we're going to talk about how we begin to thrive through the struggle, right? How do we thrive through the hurt? Because we could say all day long we need to thrive in our relationships, but the reality is some of you are just very hurt from a relationship. There's been relationships in your life that have created an incredible amount of hurt and trauma that is not easy to work through. And thankfully, We have a God that knows that, that knows that we were going to experience that, and he gives us a little bit of a roadmap to help us to begin to work through that. So that's what we're going to be covering. So again, today what we're going to look at is I want to share with you four things that are required for you to begin to have thriving relationships. Again, this isn't a fix-all, but I really do think if you could start to apply this, it really helped, because the beauty is that it's 100% biblical. Like, each of these pieces, we're pulling it straight from Scripture, and there are things that we can actually begin to apply today. And so as we walk through these things, I know everyone's in different life spots and different relationships. And so what I want you to do is I want you to receive and let God speak to you through this, through his truth and through his word today, from the perspective of your greatest relational need. Whatever that is, whether it's a relationship with you and your children, maybe it's a relationship with you and your parent, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's in a dating relationship, or just your friendship circle in general, whatever it may be. But whatever your greatest relational need is right now, I want you just to really open yourself up and let God speak to you and kind of reveal some things to you through this. So here we go. The four things that will help you to begin thriving in your relationships. And the first thing that we're going to see is that in order to begin thriving in your relationship, it requires effective communication. Not rocket science, right? I'm sure you've heard that a billion times. A critical piece of a relationship is communication, right? We all have heard that. We all know that. When Jen and I do premarital counseling, this is one of the first things that we talk about every time, because it is incredibly important, is communication is key. But what I want you to focus on today is that it's not just simply communication that's going to make the difference. It's effective communication. And there is a big difference between those two things, right? Communication is simply sharing information, right? Telling somebody something. It's just communication. I'm delivering this message, right? But effective communication, that is actually understanding the emotions and the intent behind what is being communicated. Big, big difference. And I had to learn the hard way on the importance of effective communication. You see, we're really good at talking. We're good at sharing our thoughts, our opinions, right? I'm really good at it. I love to talk. That's why I'm glad that God called me to this position where I get to get up and ramble on forever. That's why it's important that I have good notes for you guys, because if not, I'll sit up here all day long and just talk and talk and talk and talk. Nobody wants that, except me, maybe. I enjoy it. But effective communication is the key. Let me give you an example. I think about, for me, early on in my marriage, I'm naturally a fixer. I'm very empathetic when I hear someone talk about something that's hurting them or bothering them or that they're going through. I want to be able to help them through that. I want to be able to give them advice. I want to be able to fix it for them, to be honest. And I like to talk. So it seems like a win-win, right? And going into my marriage, I'm like, this is going to be great. I'm going to crush this communication game, because that's a skill set of mine. So whenever Jen would come home from work and frustrated about something, and then she starts telling me about this problem that she has made into like this huge thing, and she gets two sentences in, and I'm just done. And I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is the problem. Here's the solution. This is really simple. I think if she does, and then I'm working through everything, and then I'm not listening to anything else she's saying, and then I wait just until I can just jump right in. As soon as she takes a breath, I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to fix it. And I'm going to be the hero. It's going to be great. But for some reason, every time I did that, it led to frustration. It led to an argument. It led to a fight. And then I'm frustrated because I'm like, you're ungrateful. I fixed it. It's simple. Just do this. Quit talking about it. Were we communicating? Sure. She was sharing information. I was sharing information. But was it effective? No. Not a bit. because I didn't care in that moment about really what was going on. I didn't take the time to find out what the intent was and the emotion behind what she was saying. I just want to fix it. I think a noble thing, a good thing. But that's not what she wanted. In reality, she just wanted to vent. She just wanted to be heard. She wanted to be loved and encouraged. That was it. It took me like, I've been married. It took me some years. And I'm still working on it. And I catch myself every once in a while because I'm like, fix it, mode. Nope, stop, listen. But that's the difference between communication and effective communication. And it's super important. If you're going to have a relationship that's thriving, you've got to have good, effective communication. And I think that's why James and King Solomon, man, they were really on it. Like, they knew what was up about communication. Check it out. In James chapter 1, verse 19, he says this. He says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Let me say that again. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. But when I think of the relationships in my life that aren't so great, and really a lot of people, the majority of people, what I see is the exact opposite, right? I see people that are slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to get angry, especially in the social media game, right? Let someone throw a post out there that you don't like. Quick to speak, quick to type, quick to get angry. And you ain't listening. But if we want to thrive, right? If we want to truly thrive in our relationships, we've got to learn to actually listen. We have to listen. Slow to speak, quick to listen, and then slow to get angry. I mean, that right there can be a game changer. The person that you have that relationship with that's struggling, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, and see what happens. You're going to rattle them. They're not going to know what to think. But that's what brings and births healthy relationships, thriving relationships. King Solomon, man, he said the same thing, probably the wisest man to ever live. And he said this. It was really simple. He said, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. I wish I would have listened to that early on in my relationships. To answer before listening. I mean, how many times do we do that? How many times do we do that in our relationships that are struggling? In that relationship that you think you're not the issue, but they are, think about it. Are you answering before you even listen? Are you communicating effectively? Are you trying to pay attention to the intent and the emotion behind what they're saying? Or are you just quick to get angry and you just want to rattle off at the mouth? Effective communication truly, truly leads to a thriving relationship. Second thing that we see in Scripture is that a thriving relationship requires mutual respect and submission. Mutual respect and submission. And if I'm being completely honest, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of throw myself out here a little bit. There are a lot of relationship messages that I've heard throughout my life that have jacked this up. A lot. A lot that has created a lot of problems for marriages, a lot of problems for people within the church, and honestly has pushed people away from God. A lot of messages about this. And a lot of it is birthed out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Now, I don't know if you all paid attention when I did Ephesians 5, but I quickly stopped at 19 because I wasn't going there. We're going to. Jen and I are going to plan to do a series on the tail end of Ephesians 5 at some point in time, and we're going to tag team it, and I think it's going to be awesome. But we're going to get there. But this mutual respect and submission piece is so important. And I think it's missing today in a lot of churches and a lot of places in our lives. And so essentially Ephesians 5:22, if you're not familiar, it says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands as you do to the Lord, which is true. It's there. It's in Scripture. You can't run from it. It's reality. But how it's been preached and how it's been applied has honestly been used way too much to control. It's a power and control game to lift one person up and push other one person down. And that is not what is really going on here. That is taking that verse out of context. And I strongly, strongly believe this. And like I said, I'm just going to throw myself out there, because the reality is the verse right before that says this, which is one that I didn't hear much. I just heard 22 on. Check it out. Verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. See, I heard all the time, wives, submit to your husband. Wives, submit to your husband. Wives, submit to your husbands. But what about the verse that says, submit to one another? There's mutual submission here, mutual respect. One is not greater than the other. Either way, we are to respect each other. And that's what a thriving relationship is all about. There is submission. It's mutual submission. We have to respect one another. We have to honor each other. And honestly, that goes across all relationships, right? If you want to have a good relationship, a good friendship, you should have mutual respect for each other. You should approach things together, right? That is the way a relationship works. So if you want that to thrive, that's where it's at. We have to seek to honor each other. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says this. It says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. So think about that relationship that you're struggling with. Is there mutual respect? Is there mutual submission? And that doesn't mean you look at the other person and say, you're not respecting me. You're not submitting to me. Because I'm telling you right now, that's going to create more drama. Don't do that. But each of you need to ask yourself that. Am I respecting the other person? Am I taking delight in honoring them? That is a complete game changer. Am I living and being someone that's worth honoring, worth submitting to, worth respecting? So you can't expect someone to do that if you're not living that way. Which honestly takes us to the third thing that we find in Scripture about a thriving relationship and what it requires. And it requires the presence of true love. The presence of true love. Now you hear true love all the time in a fairy tale and all these beautiful things. But let me tell you right now, true love is tough. True love is something that we don't see a lot of today. To say the words, I love you, to say the words, I mean, I really love them, or I love this group of people, or I love this, or I love that, that's easy, because it's just words. But to put that in action, that's where it gets difficult. And that's where relationally you begin to thrive. If you could actually demonstrate love, if you live it out. John chapter 3, verse 18 says this. It says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Man, I'm tired of hearing people talk about that they love people. And then when you look at their lives and how they live and how they treat people, it's the furthest thing from the truth. It's not love. Not a bit. That's where rubber meets the road. If you want a thriving relationship, it's right there. Don't just tell them that you love them. Show it. Live it. Be it. Show them that you love them. Shut up and do it. It's real simple, but very, very difficult. Because knowing how to actually show love is something that's tough. Thankfully, again, we have this roadmap of what it looks like to actually put love into action. And it's a passage of scripture that all of us have heard, that all of us know. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've heard it, right? It's the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. We've all heard it. But what's interesting to me is that a lot of people can even recite it. It just becomes words. People don't really apply it. They don't really apply it in their marriage. They have it read, but they don't apply it in their marriage. They don't apply it in their relationships with their friends and their family. They don't apply it to their children. But they say they love them. We had it read at our wedding. Check it out. Really think through this. I want you to take the auto voice in your head. As I read it, you're going to read it and echo it because you know it. Really think about the words and the actions that you would have to display in that relationship that you're thinking of, that's your greatest need relationship right now. I want you to think about what it would be like if you lived these things, you put these things into action, right? Check it out. Starting in verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not proud. It's not proud. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong, which we're great at doing. Kind. You didn't boast. You weren't envious. You didn't dishonor. Think about that. I mean, that's if you always trusted each other, if you always hoped, if you always persevered. When things get tough, because they will, right? Because life's messy. People are messy. But you persevere because you love them. And that's love in action. That creates a thriving, not perfect, but thriving relationship. We need to put our love into action. The fourth and final thing that we find in Scripture about a thriving relationship and what it requires is by far the most important. It's the most important and it's the most critical, and it's placing God in the number one spot. Placing God in the number one spot. It is so easy and seems like a good thing if you're married to put your spouse in that number one spot. It's easy to do. As a parent, it's easy to put your children collectively, don't pick favorites, in that number one spot. It's natural for us to do that. But the reality is, if you want those relationships in your life to thrive, God has to be in the spot that he deserves to be in his rightful spot, on the throne, in the number one spot. And if we don't do that, I promise you, your relationship is never going to thrive. It is a must. We have to place God in this spot. And there are so many passages of scripture that speak to this, and I'm just going to share a few. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not second, not third, but seek first the kingdom of God. Then it says, all these things will be added to you. What are all these things, right? All these things are all the things. It's all the things that God has placed in your heart. Those good things that he's placed in your heart to do. The people that he's placed in your life. I don't know anyone that is in a relationship, again, whether it be a marriage or with their children or family or a close group of friends or a best friend or whatever, that says, I don't want that relationship to thrive. Actually, I want that relationship to tank. Nobody really says that. They want it to thrive. And what God is saying here is that if you put me first, that desire will be given to you. It will thrive, but only when you put me first. You got to keep your eyes on him. You got to stay connected to the vine, walking in his way, and that in all things, and that most certainly includes your relationships. Matthew 22, verse 37 and through 39, again, one of my favorite passages of scripture. I think it can be applied in so many areas of our lives to bring improvement and hope and healing. And it's this: Jesus replied when these people were kind of saying, trying to trip Jesus, like, hey, what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing? He says this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. He says the greatest thing, the most important thing you can do is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's first and foremost. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. Sounds like mutual submission to me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. Love God, have thriving relationships with the people in your life. But God has to be in his rightful spot. And finally, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. I don't know what you may be going through relationally, but what I do know is that we all have relationship issues. And I do know that relationship problems, struggles, relationship messes are some of the most challenging and the most difficult and the most painful things to walk through. They really are. It's just difficult. But we have this promise here from Scripture. If we trust in the Lord with everything that we have and lean not on our own understandings, he will make our paths straight. He will walk point in that relationship. Because the reality is we can't do it alone. If I say I want to have a thriving relationship and I'm going to do it on my own, I might have a little bit of success, but it's never going to thrive like it's supposed to. There's always going to be something missing. And that missing piece is the fact that if I don't have it centered around God, going to fall apart. It's going to be a mess. We're going to hit tough waters, and we're not going to make it through. Or if we do, we're just going to go in survival mode, baby. But we've got to thrive. You were created to thrive relationally. So thrive. Have effective communication. Be quiet and listen. Look below the surface, not on what's just being said, but really take some time and listen. Don't get mad so quick, even if they're yelling at you about your stupidity and the things that you've done wrong. You probably deserve it, but don't get mad. Just be quiet and listen. Listen to the intent. Listen to the heart. Listen to the emotion of what's being said, what's really being said, right? Have mutual respect and submission for each other. And like I said, be someone that's worthy of that mutual submission and respect. Have true love in action. Demonstrate it. Live it. Breathe it. And most importantly, put God in his number one spot. I promise you, if you can do that, if you can create this as your relational foundation and how you operate, you're going to begin to thrive. You're going to see some of those relationships turn around. You're going to see those good relationships that you have become great. God gives us that roadmap, and he wants you to thrive. So in all of our relationships, let's begin to do that. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that we're flawed people. that we're not perfect, that we mess up, we create issues for ourselves, we create issues for others. But God, that you are so good, that you love us anyways, and you long to continue to be in relationship with us, even when we mess things up with you, and when we don't follow you, and we don't serve you, and we don't put you in that number one spot, you don't go anywhere, and you just wait for us. You want us to come back to you. You long for that, God. That is such an incredible truth. One that I'm so thankful for. And God, I pray that we would begin to thrive in every aspect of our lives. Not because of anything that we do, but because of who you are and what you've done in our lives and the fact that you created us that way. And may we thrive in our relationships. May we thrive in our relationships to glorify you. May we thrive in our relationships so that other people can look on and see how we live and how we love and just desire what we have, and that's you. God, I don't know what each and every person's going through in here this morning or what someone may be going through that might listen to this on the podcast, God. But Lord, I pray that you would heal those areas of their life. I pray that you would speak truth over those relationships. Give them clarity, give them insight, and begin that healing process, God. May each person or the group of people involved in those relationships be open and willing to begin to take the steps necessary to thrive again. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here this morning, and the most important relationship that you need to address is your relationship with God. Maybe it's because you don't really even have a relationship with Him. Maybe you've gone to church from time to time, or maybe you've been in church for a long time, but you've never really surrendered your life to Him. You've never given Him your whole heart. Never stepped over that line of faith by confessing and believing. And if that's you this morning, understand that that's the most critical and important relationship that needs to thrive. It's between you and God. Again, like I said earlier, the beautiful thing is that God sent His Son Jesus to make a way for us to be restored, to be made whole again, be connected to the Father. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose Him from the grave, that you'll be saved. So if you're here this morning and you've never stepped over that line of faith into that beautiful relationship with God, and you're ready to do that, just talk to Him this morning. Just confess and believe. Confess that you have flaws and failures and that you're not perfect and that you need Him. And then you believe that He is the one and only truth, the one and only Savior that can transform you. Through the blood of Jesus, His death and resurrection, you can be whole again. So you just confess and believe that to Him. You can do that right from your seat. Or if you'd rather, you can come see me after the service. I'd love to talk to you more about that and pray with you. I mean, He's waiting. He longs for that relationship. But maybe for you, it's just, You have a relationship with God, but you have so many other relationships in your life that are just tanking. They're a mess. You've kind of given up and you're just trying to survive. Understand that that's not what God wants for His people. That's not what He wants for you. He wants you to thrive. And through His word, He tells us exactly how. So if that's you, you just spend time with God this morning. Tell Him that. Talk with Him. Begin to think through those relationships. Begin to pray over those relationships. And then begin to make some contact and actually put some of that love and that work into action. You can do that. God, we thank you for your truth. I pray for each and every person, God, that you would that you would speak to us exactly what we need to hear this morning from you. God, may we thrive in our relationship with you most importantly. But may we thrive in everything else, God, because of you. God, may we submit to you, trust you with our whole heart. Lord, may you make our paths straight. Follow you and thrive.